can save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
What?
I don't what you just put on Facebook Live. Hi, I'm Ron Calgill. The Mighty House team is back. Join us on Facebook Live now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. You can watch us right now on Facebook Live, and if you don't have Facebook Live or you don't have a Facebook account, but you have a Fire Stick, you know, the Amazon Fire Stick, go on Fire Stick, hit the apps button, go to the Facebook, click on that, and then down the right or left side, there'll be a search bar. Hit the search, type in Mighty House, boom, we'll pop right up.
I need to know what you're laughing about.
You know what I'm laughing
about. I don't. Well, you then, said what I posted on Facebook Live. Was it the photo?
No, this right here.
Hold on.
It's your favorite word.
Oh, Will posted that.
Oh, Will posted that.
Yes,
okay.
He posted a photo. You guys have to go. I thought you were talking about that I posted that someone had a juicy body, but okay, someone on Facebook Live posted something, and I looked. I was creeping on their profile to see something about them.
Yeah.
And on Facebook, they're like, you know, what would your, there's all those lame things. If you were a dog, what would your dog name be? Mm-hmm. If you were whatever. So it was like, what would your tombstone say?
Right.
And it said he had a juicy body.
Okay.
That's what, so I put, anyway. Right. Will Decker posted a photo of a toilet with a sign that said, do not poop in here.
Right. I thought you did that, so.
No, Will posted, I just shared it. I shared
it.
Liked it. Yes.
Are you looking for a luxury kitchen at an affordable price? Don't go any further than alinecabinets.com. That's A-L-I-N-E cabinets.com. And if you want to give us a call, 877-711-5611. And we've got stuff in the prize closet. If you tell Trixie you want something, I'm sure we can get it out to you. There's pens and koozies and all kinds of stuff like that. So,
right.
There is. It's all kinds of cool stuff.
Right.
So, one thing that a little interior decorating thing that I've noticed is starting to happen again, and I was curious if it's happening down in Florida too, is wallpaper making a comeback down there.
Yes.
It is. So.
Yes.
Here's my question. If you've got all those bumpy walls because nobody knows how to tape, how do you hang wallpaper?
We get on our ID drawings, it says finish walls, smooth finish for wallpaper.
Okay.
And I pay extra to have the walls smooth.
Isn't that what a sander's for?
Yes, exactly. Actually, all the homes that I do are all level 4 or level 5 finish is what they call it down here.
Right.
But I'll be honest, there's no difference between 4 and 5 down here because it's not like anybody skin coats anything.
Right.
They just, it's BS.
Right.
And then, of course, some of the people I work for don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. So they get away with it because they don't know.
Right, right. So the wallpaper thing, though, I mean, it's gone away for the longest time, but I'm starting to see it in designers are starting to call it out again, and it sounds like they're doing it in Florida. They're calling it out again, and it's not entire walls though, you know, or the entire room isn't getting wallpapered.
No, it's more feature walls than that, but a lot more are. You know, grass cloth is actually probably one of the things we use the most.
Ugh, that stuff's awful though.
Why?
Well,
why is it
with that,
awful?
You've got to have a super super sharp knife, otherwise it.
It's,
you know,
it's
you
gotta really
keep changing blades.
Yeah, it's really difficult to hang and install it because of the real grass
fibrous
cloth and cutting it. I actually used scissors the last time I bought new pair of scissors, and that's what I used to cut it and to get it installed.
Yeah.
Why would it be hard to hang as opposed to other regular wallpaper?
The weight of it, it's not paper smooth and it's the thickness is even across the whole piece as you
I
hang
see.
It.
Okay.
This is uneven, so now you're trying to smooth it out, get the glue out from behind it, and get it all nice and level, and then lining up your seams. Because it's grass, it's like all over the place. It's hard to get it to line up. And then trying to keep that clean, because with wallpaper, you just push the seams together, you sponge it off, it's done. You can't have, when you push it together, you can't have the glue come out. Because as soon as you wipe
I never did it that way. I never pushed my seams together.
No?
I always overlapped and did the double cut. So then even if anything wasn't straight.
Right.
But again, that you can only do on a solid or not a repeating pattern.
Correct. So,
but yeah, we're always double cutted.
I hang it close, and then I would just you push it to line up the seams perfect, and then you smooth the rest of that sheet out.
I remember back in the early 70s, actually it might have been the late 60s. That's I think when I learned to swear. My dad was putting up wallpaper, and it was back when Oriental or Asian was real popular, early 70s. So, yeah. You know, it had that mural.
Right.
And my dad trying to put that pattern together, and it didn't line up for crap, and he was going ape.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah. No, that and so then when your patterns don't line up, you make sure they line up at eye level and then run off on the way down or
everywhere
on the way
else.
Up.
But, and worse than putting it up is taking it back down. Especially after somebody's already put two or three more layers of wallpaper on top of it.
Or painted over it.
Or painted them.
From the 1960s.
Yeah, but the bigger thing is they never sealed or sized the walls properly. Yeah. So then, if there's walls are sized properly, usually they'll come off fairly easily with just the puncture tool and some solvent. Or not solvent, but even water.
Yeah, the diff.
But you're right. Getting it off stinks.
Yeah, diff wallpaper remover works great. Put it in a sprayer and just spray it on there. In a putty knife, and it just comes right off.
And does that work if you have a couple different layers, or if there's paint in between of those layers?
Yeah, they have a dimpling tool like Rich was talking about. It almost looks like a small little rake on rollers, and it dimples it, and that'll puncture holes through it, so then that diff can soak in there and get to the glue and loosen it up.
But it leaves your drywall I guess you just putty it again, but there's a lot of holes.
Well, yeah, you might have to skin coat some spots. It's not unusual to, nick the finish on the drywall here and there, but.
Okay, 877-711-5611. 877-711-5611. I just want to mention a couple things, unless you were continuing the wallpaper conversation.
No, I was just going to say that it is coming back. We were talking about that. Trying to clean it up, make sure, like Rich said, there's a primer. Make sure the walls are primed. Don't hang it on bare drywall or just prime drywall. You prime the walls, make sure they're clean and smooth, and then there's a sizing that you put on there, and that will help release that paper next time. It helps stick to on the, right now when you hang it. It hangs it nice, but then when you try to remove it later, it allows it to be removed. If you don't do that and you just put it over regular paper, you're creating nightmares for the next person.
Well, if you sell the house, you don't have to worry about the
drywall over it because it gets so nasty.
Yeah, ours at our house, the people who had it before us, they put wallpaper up and it had a raised pattern in it. Mm-hmm. So then they would paint over it so that they could just change the color of the raised pattern. So I don't even know what's in there. But now you can start to see it in the seams. The seams are getting thick. So I have some family down in the Florida area, Vero as Sonar. Knows. And they are looking to buy a new place, and they did an inspection, and there were a bunch of things wrong, but two things that I thought were kind of interesting to talk about. One is that the dryer, it's a manufactured home.
Okay.
The dryer vent was, I can't think of the term, but put into the floor.
Okay.
Instead of vented to the outside.
Right.
It was vented underneath the house.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Was it just shipped there, or... Is it a brand new home?
No.
Oh, it's been like that.
It's been like that.
Well, that way you have warm, heated floors in the winter, though.
Yeah, and carbon monoxide under your house.
Sure.
And fire hazard.
Yeah, if it's gas, dryer, yes. If it's an electric dryer, no. You just have a bunch of humidity that you're dumping underneath your house and rotting out the floors.
Yeah, so bad. I was assuming it was gas, but I don't know. I assumed it was gas because everything up here is gas.
Yeah,
Yeah, and down here, most of it is not. We have to put LP tanks, and there's very few natural gas communities.
Oh.
Wrong button. Because a lot of times you have to bury gas lines, and nothing in Florida is buried. They usually just hang it on lines.
On the pole.
Okay, yeah, because I was worried about carbon monoxide. I'm like, oh, that's terrible.
Right. If it was a gas dryer, you're correct. But if it's right. an electric dryer.
But even electric should be vented outside.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because you're still, like you said, with the humidity and stuff.
Yeah, you don't want that dumping underneath the house.
Yeah,
you
still that was want it crazy. Out.
Plus then, so now, you know, not only that, now you're putting lint all over. And now one little electrical spark, you've got all that lint down there. You're talking a nice little bonfire you got going. So, you know. And
so was the other thing.
Huh? What was the
what
other
was
thing?
The other interesting
oh.
thing?
I'm sorry.
There we go. We got a break. How about if we hold that?
Fine.
And we'll do it when we come back. What do you think?
Hold.
Not yet. Not
hold.
Yet.
Hold.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Robbie's second point right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
It is, it is.
Whoa. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Go follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 877-711-5611, you too can join the conversation and let us know what happened at your inspection. Do you like the wallpaper? What other things have we been talking about?
Well, Ray on Facebook Live has a question.
Okay.
And we gave him the phone number to call in.
But?
I'm not sure.
It's okay.
Has Ray called in?
Probably not. See, people like to post their question. They don't want to go on the air.
He's asking for the number. So, Ray, if you want to talk about many houses or any other construction thing, you got to call us.
Yeah. Okay, so what was your second thing that we teased?
Oh, so the second thing, it was a hot water heater.
A hot water heater or a cold water heater?
It's a cold water heater.
It was a hot water heater, but then they cooled it off.
Oh.
So when they needed cold water, they cooled it.
Got it.
And when they needed hot water, it was there.
So there was a water chiller.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was a bubbler. And it was installed on the wood
floor
pallet.
Okay.
That it came in.
It was still on the pallet.
It was still on the pallet.
The shipping pallet.
Yeah, the shipping pallet.
Okay.
And that's how it was installed in the house.
Uh-huh.
Instead of in a pan, so if there was any, you know, leakage or something
right.
like that. I don't think ours has a pan underneath
No,
it.
Because if you've got a basement and a concrete floor, it doesn't matter. But if you're...
As long as you have the floor drain in the room where it's supposed to be.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when they were telling me about that, I'm like, okay, the pallet doesn't sound good, but, you know, okay, that makes sense to have a pan underneath.
Pan.
We don't have one underneath.
Well, if you're putting the water heater on the first floor and you've got a framed wood, you know, first floor or second floor, and you're putting the water heater on the second floor, you're putting the washer and dryer up on the first or second floor. You need a catch
Those
pan.
Should be in a pan also.
Underneath the washing machine, you should have a pan underneath the water heater.
Yes.
All that stuff.
Which, in all honesty.
Yeah.
Complete honesty.
Have you ever had your washing machine overflow?
Yes.
Or your water heater start leaking? Now, I've never had either one happen.
Right.
But it doesn't mean it doesn't.
I mean,
I'm not saying it. You know that it's silly. It's that one time it does.
Uh huh.
I've had the water heater go.
Yeah.
And it just.
Yeah. When it goes, it goes.
Well,
like my water heater, that's in the garage on a wood shelf. It has to be on a shelf because it has to be above base flood.
Uh-huh.
And then I have a pan on it with a drain that goes to the garage floor.
Oh, nice.
It's the point of the pan in a garage. You know what I mean? It's like, whatever.
Uh-huh.
I was working at a client this week, and it's the sinks that don't, they're like level with the counter,
mm-hmm.
kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you know, filled up a dirty pot with soap and I was letting the water run. Next thing I knew, I hear like what sounds like a flood.
And?
Oh, there's that sharp crack again. A flood.
Uh-huh.
Because it poured over the sink and over the counters and it's on the floor. And I'm like, oh.
Uh-huh. So you didn't pull the stopper then, huh? It had a stopper in it or?
Yeah. And just, you know, it didn't. There was no overflow, catch, or, you know, anything.
It's kind of interesting, though, because, like, kitchen sinks do not have overflows.
Right.
but all bathroom sinks do, well, not all, but you can buy a vanity sink that does not have an overflow, mm-hmm. but you never put a drain that can be closed in one of those for that reason.
Got it. No stopper. Makes sense?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. Yeah. No, there
most vanity sinks have a little hole
right,
and overflow.
Right.
So it can't, you know, but kitchen sinks never do. And I don't know why that would be, but it just is.
You know what? I'm thinking it wasn't I didn't have a stopper in the kitchen sink, but the pan was like level with the edge of the sink.
The drain?
Of the sink.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. So when the pan started to overflow, it was level. It just
went onto the countertop as well.
Nice.
It was a big
I bet you don't get invited back over soon. Can I help with dishes? No, please go.
Oh, this
sit
was
down.
A client at a job. That client
was at
wasn't
a job.
Home.
That's even worse.
Client wasn't home.
All right, should we go to line three there, Trixie?
Yes, okay. Ray. We've been waiting for Ray to call us.
Hey, Ray, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, cool. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Thanks for listening.
I never heard of your show, and I heard you guys have been around for 10 years, but
Jerry told you, right? Jerry
yeah, very close. I live by Midway Airport, so a little unincorporated area called Central Stickney, and I've been carpenter for over 30 years now in the Chicago area. Done a lot of crazy projects. I'm a superintendent for a general contractor right now, and so. But I was wondering because when you guys were talking about houses, you know, I seen Mighty House. Had you guys ever heard of? They're called mini houses, and what they're trying to do. I can't remember the name of the org. I was trying to look it up while I was waiting. But I couldn't find it. There's an organization that's trying to build these mini houses, that's why I was trying to find the information. Somewhere in the Chicago area, I could be wrong about that, but somewhere they're trying to build these mini houses for homeless veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Because I deal a lot with veterans on my off time. I'm the president of the Illinois Motorcycle Freedom Run.
Okay.
We deal with veterans, and those mini homes are, like, awesome. They got every amenity you need in there, and... They wanted to make small communities with them, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know about in the Illinois area, but Cape Coral, Florida, which is just a little north of Fort Myers, they literally just passed new ordinances for a tiny home community because they had to increase the density. The village, you know, the codes are not written to allow. You know, basically it says one house per quarter acre, which is defeats the purpose of the tiny home.
Right.
So they increase density, and they actually have a subdivision starting that is nothing but, and so it's dictated to be tiny homes.
Right. And that's under
so that's 1,000, the first step.
That's under 1,000 square feet too, I think, right? Doesn't that constitute a tiny house? So you might want to.
I don't even remember. Yes, they're small.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of them are the size of a RV trailer. You know, it just depends.
Yeah, 500 square feet.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're coded as RVs, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, they keep them on wheels and do that. So you might want to, the Green Build Exchange, you might want to look at their website. And then there's
Green
also.
Okay.
Yeah. And then what's the.
Tiny House Nation.
Tiny House Nation. There's another, I can't remember there because out on the west side, there's another Green Build organization. I can't remember, my mind just went blank. But they've got a lot of that information out there. They're over by Christy Weber.
Over by there.
Over by there by Christy Weber Landscaping and all that. So there's a whole other community out there. So
yeah, personally, I don't think I could live in one.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said I was working for the general contractor that did Christy Weber's her office area there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's the first time I found out about the. I lost train of thought. The heat.
Geothermal.
Geothermal heating. Yep. That's what she's got that at that building there. First time I ever heard of it. So that was pretty cool. I just did that at a project for a couple years back. I finished a project up in Evanston for the Pritzker family. Took a old mansion and updated it to like now times. She put a lot of money into it and made a bed and breakfast up there right on the lake, off the lake, basically.
Nice.
Sheridan right off of Sheridan Road?
Yeah, yes. And that's when you guys were talking about the wall finishes.
Uh-huh.
And we were going over the wall finishes. When you guys were talking about the 4-5s and all that stuff.
Right.
The contractor that bid the job did not notice that it had number 4 finish on the wall, and he was fuming because, this is going to cost me a fortune to do that.
Uh-huh.
So
that's why
it's pretty rough.
That's why you read the blueprints and the notes.
Exactly. The blueprints and the specs, they're very important. That's why they put them out there.
Yep. Yep, because a lot of guys just look at the picture. They go, oh, they look at the picture and they do it. But they don't go and start reading the notes and realize, you know, you need hurricane straps and this and that. And, I mean, all this different fasteners. And that's where you find out the real information. So yeah.
What's a
that's
number
why
for?
I, being a superintendent, I got to know that so I can make sure they're doing it right.
Yep, exactly.
Absolutely.
So what? Go ahead,
what's
Robbie.
A number four wall?
It's the level of finish.
Yeah, it's just a level of finish. I'm not very familiar. I had to look into it a lot because that was the first time I really had to deal with it. Basically, everything's around a 3 to a 4. But when you go to a mm-hmm. 4 to a 5, it's like perfect. You don't see no little ridges, no little nail, anything. It's a perfectly finished wall.
And usually the best thing...
What would you say, Rob, that the old plaster days, those would probably give you your best finish because you're doing like
that's
a
exactly
two,
where I was going to go. The lime coat on a... plaster.
Yeah, it's so you it's actually skim coating the entire wall down and laying it flat.
Yeah.
And that gives you that perfect finish. It's plaster.
Yeah, if you remember the original this old house, they were always in Boston. They always put up blue board and then they skim coated it and that would give you a level 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, down here just throwing compound on walls and tape and sand in the seams. Half the time they're burning the paper between the nails, you know, so that's going to ruin your finish, but
yeah, they fire coat it. They do a fire coat and then spray the walls with splatter, right?
Yes, that's what we do here for the most part.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, is that it? Are we good?
Yeah, good. Nice talking to you guys. I'll try
calling.
To keep listening to you guys on every Saturday morning. Or
oh, yeah.
Yep.
7 to 10
yeah,
every
stay
Saturday.
With
time
us.
You start?
7.
8.
What time, Rich?
7 a.m.
8 for me, 8 to 11 for me. It's 7 to 10
okay.
for you.
All right, 7 a.m. All right, thanks.
All right,
nice talking to
thank you.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Go, Robbie.
An email from our good friend Ian about wallpaper.
Yeah.
He says his painter uses a paper tiger. That's the roller that perforates the paper and then uses steam. Absolutely the best system.
Uh-huh.
Diff brand, etc. wallpaper remover does not work any better than a damp sponge or steam.
It does, too.
Ian.
I use it all the time.
I'm sorry.
Till that the goo gone.
Yeah,
Diff
exactly.
brand wallpaper remover does not work any better than a damp sponge or steam.
No, it does,
Always
too.
Use special wallpaper primer, usually Shields by Zisner brands.
Mm-hmm.
Trick is to get the paper damp over a long period of time and boom, done.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, some of them are already pre-glued and you just soak them in water and you pull them out. And then there's others you have to actually use the wallpaper paste.
I still like the paste because it allows you to squeegee the bubbles out.
Yep. I still use the paste. Even if it's a pre-glued, still put the paste on there and hang it.
What about the ones that have the sticky side to it?
That's what I mean. The slap and stick?
No, you just pull it apart. It's almost like a giant
That's called
sticker.
Shelf paper.
Oh, that's shelf paper.
That is not wallpaper.
How much time do we have?
30 seconds.
I'll save this till next
What
time.
Do you got?
It's an email, but we need to sing the email song.
Oh,
we'll
so we'll
tease.
Get that ready. Okay. We'll tease it then.
Talking about water heater pans.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll talk about drip pans right after this.
Water heater pans.
You're listening to
Mighty House. This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
I thought it was funny, too.
You've been with me through thick and thin and never once complained. Together in the sunshine and the rain. And when the world falls on my shoulder, you always pick me up. You're more than just my sweetheart. You're my best friend. You're my trust.
Very nice.
Join us on Facebook Live right now. Brought to you in part by the First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Wow. And you can find links.
It's easy for you to say.
No, it's not. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And one more thing, the Small Business Advocacy Council, the SBAC, is a nonpartisan, member-driven organization that promotes the success of small business through political advocacy, networking, support services, and educational programs. The SBAC is dedicated to improving economic conditions for small to mid-sized businesses and being a voice for small businesses and being a voice for small business. For more information and to make a donation, go to sbacil.org. And, of course, you can give us a call, 877-711-5611, and we'll get your questions answered also. All right. Haven't played that song in a while.
I like it.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Can you play the email song?
I can play the email song, too, if you really want.
No, I don't.
You don't?
I just thought I'd say it.
Okay, so then I'm going to hit this.
Row?
What's that?
Nothing. I don't need it.
You don't need
it. It's not a question of comments.
It's not a matter of need. It's a matter of want. And
I think that was the same thing, problem I had last Friday.
Wow.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Water heater pans.
Water heater pans?
Where it is extremely dangerous, and we're going back to, we were talking about a water heater not having a pan underneath it.
No catch pan.
Correct.
Okay.
Where it's extremely dangerous is in an apartment building where they have hot water tanks in each unit.
Okay.
Hot water tanks. Mm-hmm. I've seen tanks go on the third or fourth floors, and it's complete devastation in the units below. Once a tank bottom came off on the fourth in the middle of the night, so you had the contents of the tank drop immediately and continuous water flow at pressure till it was discovered in the morning. Tenants had to move from seven units until we could repair the damage, and imagine the damage to the personal property.
Oh, yeah.
Old tanks were replaced after that with pans and alarms.
There you go.
Thank you, David.
Yeah. That's,
and we do a lot of times you put in the water bugs, and you put those in locations under sinks, in pans like that, and they're little transmitters that'll go to another piece, and you can actually have a valve on your water main. So if a jitterbug senses moisture, not only does it send you a text or a phone call, but it'll shut the main valve on your house. So no damage. It's awesome.
That sounds like an awesome tool. So you could just sprinkle those all over your house then. You put those little water bugs all over, underneath every sink. And
water bugs.
Yeah.
So, and then, so then you need to add that to your list of changing the batteries, then I'm going to assume, because those are probably running on batteries.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to change.
I guess you should check the batteries in your water bugs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of those run 4 years, so.
Oh, really?
4 or 5 years, I think, yeah. Well, think about it. Even like battery-operated blinds and stuff, or even alarms, they're like, oh, yeah, no, battery's good for 5 to 6 years.
Right. So then in 5 or 6 years, the warning alarm goes off telling you that the battery's getting low, and you forget you've got those things, and you're walking around trying to figure out where that beep is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could happen too.
So another question that I wanted to ask, it was something that happened a couple of weeks ago, but we've been so busy I didn't have a chance to ask this.
Okay.
I was in a different client, and I was in a basement, and it was one of the worst mildew smells ever. And I had some suggestions for the person, but I'm wondering, what do you tell people, horrible smells in the basement? What do you recommend?
Dumpster?
I think it was more
dehumidification.
Like, thank you. So it was more of probably maybe cracks in the foundation or something, but it was damp and it just, so.
Was it a nasty moldy smell or just a musty smell? Because if it's really, really bad, then you have to actually take the drywall out, pull out the framing, get all that stuff cleaned out, repair the leaks, and then put it all back together.
Ugh, it was really bad.
So, yeah. If it's really bad, then you have to cut all that out and replace it. If it's just like a musty smell, you might be able to get away with some dehumidification and do that. But if you've got your whole basement opened up, before you go finishing it, you should be putting concrete sealer all over the floor, all over the walls. Seal those walls and floors up really good before you finish the space, because then that will help keep that musty smell down, because the water in the ground will get soaked into the concrete and then evaporate into the house. And then you've always got that musty smell in the basement because there's not a lot of air movement in the basement.
Well, it's because they run the ductwork through there, and all they do is cut one 9-inch vent at some point or right. whatever, and there's no return.
Yep.
So the basement is never taken into consideration when they're doing the duct design.
Quack, quack.
Thank you. I love when you do that. It just makes me happy.
It might happen a lot. We might need a drop next week.
Yes.
Figuring we're talking to Dr. Bales yes. about HVAC and duct design and sizing and yeah, equipment quack, quack. And so on.
Well, what's funny about it is you do it. It's hysterical. If I did it, Rich would be pissed.
Why?
Because it's just a thing, right,
it's
Rich?
It's just a thing.
You would like yes. roll your eyes, cross your arms. Oh, you're crossing your arms now. And you roll See, your eyes and you'd be like, Robbie, I'm trying to get a point across.
Right.
Quack, quack. Next time I'm going to do it and we'll see the difference.
Yes. Next, you're going to have plenty of opportunities next week.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What about the drain pipe?
Drain.
What's the thing in the base in the bottom called?
The drain tile? Around the perimeter of your basement?
No, the round hole.
The floor drain?
The floor drain,
yes.
Okay.
Can you tell people, how's this? Every time you switch your... No, that's not often enough.
What?
How do you maintain your floor drain?
Okay. All right. How do you maintain
your floor drain?
Well, you should just be
with
going
a trap
around.
Primer.
Yeah, you can put water in there. The other thing that we've been doing lately is you go buy the food safe. It's food right. safe antifreeze. Yeah, it's antifreeze, but it's food safe. So it's biodegradable. All that. You pour that in there. That will last longer because it doesn't evaporate as fast.
No, we'll get back to that in a minute. No,
and we used to do vegetable oil also.
Vegetable oil on top of the fill it with water and then put vegetable oil under.
Hold on, take the call because your aunt's.
Kathy, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Hi, I live in a very old farmhouse in Piatone in the farm fields.
Excellent.
And a drain in the basement stopped draining.
Okay.
And we had it rotted out, and it made it worse. So, and nobody seems to want to find where the tiles might be broken.
Okay.
So we're having a sump pump and a pit put in, right, incorporating that drain.
Okay.
Is that a good idea?
So are you putting that pit in right on the foundation wall where it's going out of the house? Is that what you're doing?
No, it's sort of in the center of the basement, because that's where this drain is the lowest part.
So you could, you know, when they rod that out, they could find out where that goes outside, and then you could put it on the corner. But if you're going to put it in the middle of the basement, that's fine too. It's just you got to build around it, or you're constantly walking around it. But that at least that what that's going to do now is take any groundwater that's underneath that slab and get it out, because the drain tile, you could have it lined and do a bunch of different things, but if you don't know where it goes, it could just go out in the field and drain out there in the field somewhere and actually not go anywhere. So it's better if you can use a sump pump and then actually just pump that out, and then you know it's getting out of there for sure. So
a lot. She says she's in a really old farmhouse. So first off, there may not be any drain tile. If there was, it was probably clay.
Correct.
And it has collapsed. But secondly, most of the time, even if there was a floor drain, it was done as a French drain. So in other words, it was just it could even be cast iron, but they just set it in a pit of gravel.
Yes.
So the gravel would take the water, but on heavier rains, it would just overflow. So by putting the sump pump in and pushing that water outside, it's a great idea.
Yes.
It'll probably dry up the ground under the house, and you'll be much happier.
Yes. And you know, if you can if you got a lot of water, then you just make sure you can spread it around the yard then too. So there's a bunch of different ways.
We have acreage. We can put it way out.
Okay. Well, some people actually use
it. We can give it to the farmer.
Okay. Yeah. So, but you could actually water, you know, you could pump it outside to a tank and then use that tank to sprinkle your yard or your garden or anything like that. That's not like it's bad water. You could actually use it. So that's up to you. If you've got a lot of it, you may want to do something.
Unless you're
with
in
it.
Lamont, then it's radioactive.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Thank you very much.
All right, good. Thank you. All right, cool. So, I mean, you get older farmhouses like that, like Rich said, it's a French drain. It's a hole they filled with gravel that over time the dirt fills up with it, and then all of a sudden it's not draining like it used to. So, and if they ran it outside, there was a drain tile going outside. That's all it went to was to another hole outside like that.
Right.
There's no storm sewer to put it to. So,
right.
So put a sump pump in is probably the best way to do it. What was that, Rich?
I'm just saying, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but you know, it was like delayed on Skype, so your mouth was moving, and it was like a Clutch Cargo all of a sudden. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
So, I am a little delayed.
Yeah.
So going back to what you were saying about putting oil in
the drain,
the floor drain.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Of course I get it, but I'm just being the, you know, I know because we've talked about
oil
this
doesn't oil won't evaporate like water. So you pour a little oil in there, and the oil sits on top of the water, which then keeps the water from evaporating.
And if more water goes in there, it doesn't. The oil will always stay on top of it, and it will always stay, you know, keep it sealing it, capping it from doing it. But if you use RV antifreeze in there, water goes in there, it dilutes that, and over time that can then get washed out. So
why is there water in there always anyway?
Because there's a trap in there. There's, you know, it's supposed that way.
Keep the sewer gas from coming in.
We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day. This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net, TuneIn.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts or previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook.
Charlie Brown's teacher?
Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is Mighty House.
I used to do Pebbles from the Flintstones.
And? And now, what do you call it?
I don't do it anymore.
Oh, you don't do it anymore? But what was that?
That was
apparently
Pebbles.
You just did. Yikes.
Yikes is right. All right. Are we ready for clutter clarity? Are we going to hit like a 200 list? What do you got for us?
Oh, I have things to toss.
Oh, you do?
Disgusting things to toss.
Okay, should we get into it?
Oh, I keep getting that. Somebody just texted me and said, blah, blah, blah. Thanks, that was funny. Blah, blah, blah.
You have a disarrangement disorder. Can't seem to get that jumbled hodgepodge pile of chaos in one place? Maybe it's time for a little disposal, a little cleanup, a little eradication, evacuation, liquidation, and purgification. Here's Robbie with a tip on how to put some neatness into your disorder. This is Clutter Clarity on Mighty House.
Save me from this prison. Lord, help me get away. Cause only you can save me now from this misery. I've been lost in my own place, and I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? And I know that I need to change my ways of living. How far heaven, Lord, can you tell me?
And thanks, JD, for making me laugh. That was very funny. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, there's going to be more blah, blah, blah. So, here we go. You know, here you go.
You said it. Rich didn't. Go for it.
And it's funny because actually his wife sent me this list.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Sponges and 10 other disgusting things you need to throw out now.
Oh.
No way, you microwave your sponges.
Yeah, Yeah.
That's how you sanitize them.
Or you put them in the corner.
I thought you just keep them in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
I do. I keep mine in the dishwasher. Oh. But thank you, because at the end of this list, there are some things that don't make sense to me, so I'm glad you're the everyman today, Sonar.
Thank you.
And you're going to tell me what you think. I'm going to tell you what the list says. This is from Money Talk News.
Okay.
Toothbrush.
Oh, of course it's Money Talk. They want you to throw away all your stuff and then buy more things.
Yeah, because some of this is very questionable. Okay, it says, sure, you rinse your toothbrush after you use it and store it upright to dry. We all know to store it upright, correct? You don't store it with the head down. You store it with the head up.
I lay it back in the tip-out tray drawer. You know, like the front of my vanity clicks forward.
Oh,
and I keep it in
there.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. It lays in there. It's fine.
Ew. And then it's laying in its own goo.
Juice, yeah.
Ew, that is so, you said juice.
It's laying in its own juice, prepared for me to use it again in about 6 to 10 hours.
Sonar?
No, I keep mine on top of the toilet.
Which is bad.
It's a shelf.
That's a good idea.
Right there.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you guys don't face the wall when you guys are using it?
Okay, so anyway.
It's a built-in shelf right there.
Right,
I mean, you
there.
Can put your cell phone down.
Yeah, all kinds of things.
This says you may even soak it in a 3% hydrogen peroxide or Listerine mouthwash, which does significantly reduce the bacteria on it, as reported by the American Dental Association. But you need to replace it every 3 to 4 months or more if the brush frays.
I couldn't agree with that more. Every couple, 3 months, get a new one. And they're not that expensive. Oh, they are getting that way. But
dollar store.
The dentist gives them to you every time you go. You know, you go every 6 months for your checkup, boom, they give you a new one.
It is amazing how expensive they're getting, like $4 for a toothbrush.
They're free at the dentist.
Wire brush at Home Depot.
Yeah.
I don't go to the dentist every 3 or 4 months. Because why do you need to do this? Because every time you flush the toilet, you're releasing poo into the air.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I said poo.
Yeah. If you leave the lid open,
fecal molecules.
I live with three females, so I have to put the lid down no matter what I do.
Never mind. Okay. Your kitchen sponge. We have talked about this. If you don't think your sponge is dirty, one look at a scientific report will change your mind. Many variables cause bacteria to build up on the sponge, but suffice it to say, they get dirty very quickly and can spread bacteria in your home. Mm-hmm. How often do you say experts recommend you change your sponge out?
Once a month.
Experts probably daily.
Once a week.
Once a
week.
But you throw it in the dishwasher or you throw it in the microwave with a little saucer of water.
You cook it.
And yeah, you essentially cook everything.
Does
that get rid of that nasty stench that like it smells like?
No, you do have to dishwasher will kind of help that out, but
okay. I can't tell you how many homes I'm in. Go ahead.
It's not just the sponge itself, it's just the safe food handling aspects. So if you've got raw meats, you know, you don't soak up blood with a sponge.
Right.
You know, if that's paper towel, throw that away, you know, and then disinfect whatever. But even disinfectants in your kitchen, those are a joke. You see the commercial, kills 99.9% of germs. Read the fine print. It says it has to sit there for 2 minutes.
Right.
Well, nobody leaves it for 2 minutes. They spray it and they wipe it.
And what is that 0.1%? Like, what can't Lysol kill?
Poo.
Like,
what is that nasty stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. How strong is that it survived?
So there are times when I'm in people's homes, like clients or whatever, and it's just the dish sponge is nasty. It's like black and frayed and disgusting. I will take a paper towel and I'll just wash, you know, whatever I was going to drink or use just with a paper towel because it's, you know, a wet.
You just cut off the bad parts and you got a fresh new sponge.
Or just buy black sponges. If you buy a black sponge, then you're cool. You never have to worry about it.
Yeah. Actually, I'm getting like goosebumps from thinking about how gross it is.
Well, what we do, because we do cycle it out, we do it about every week. We run it through the dishwasher or in the microwave or something. But what we do is when we buy the good ones, we just cut it in half.
Yep.
And now you got two sponges
and it
lasts a little bit longer.
I really just keep my sponges in the dishwasher with the little scrubby thing that you sometimes use. I just keep it all in the dishwasher so it runs every single
time. There you go.
How about the water filter in your refrigerator?
Never.
I finally did mine after 14 years.
You know, mine, the alarm goes off, says it's time to change it. I just press the thing that says I just changed it.
I didn't know there was a reset button because ours stopped working.
Oh, okay.
So
that's when it's time for it to change it. That means it's clogged. That means it's literally done. The annual thing, that's one suggestion. But when it stops, now it's time.
I used to change it when it, you know, the one we have at our office, I change that when I start to taste the chlorine.
Oh, okay.
When, as soon as I start tasting chlorine, and I'm like, okay, time to change
start
it.
Start tasting like Chicago water again.
Yes.
Well, if it's not cleaned or changed regularly, you can get contamination, of course, mm-hmm. Which can even include mold in there. So if you have a warning light that goes on, change it. Or do like I did and wait till it actually stops because it's so...
They're $50 or more.
Wow.
For a stupid fridge filter? That's
really?
Bobby,
how often should I change my ice trays?
Wash them.
Because I don't...
With that sponge.
Yeah, that sponge.
And you can use the toothbrush off the toilet tank to get in the tight corners.
They are expensive, but if you go online, you can get almost anything online cheaper than you can...
Yeah, but then you're not supporting the local hardware store. You want to support your local hardware store, don't you?
The yes. local sponge store?
I love my Ace.
Local sponge store.
About it.
Sonar, we didn't get to the questionable things yet.
That's okay.
Because your Ace is getting a little bigger.
Facebook Live.
We do have Facebook Live.
I caught that one, Rich.
We'll
be back. You might be the only one.
Mighty House. Sonar and I were chatting.
Yeah, I know.
What did you say?